Sharp Money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Wildcard weekend just wrapped up. We turn our attention to Wildcard Monday. Of course, you're going to have Houston, Pittsburgh. It's still frozen at 3 there. We say hi to Mike. Look, we were, I guess, after being spoiled, and we said going into this weekend, all these games outside of the Rams, Carolina, which we'll get to, kind of a toss-up. You know, this field is wide open of 14. And that's the way it played out, with all these games coming down to the final 2 minutes. Now, we did just have a bit of a dud, but an interesting one, as New England takes care of business. It's more on the Chargers side, which we can discuss, but 16-3 winner over the Chargers. We will have the odds. We will have the schedule as the show progresses. But, Mike, how are we feeling?
We're feeling pretty good. It's my weekend's going to be decided tomorrow night. Looking forward to previewing that game toward the end, seeing how we're able to do here. A lot of emotions coming off this Chargers and Patriots game, because you kind of feel bad for Justin Herbert in a way, but he also didn't play very well. Nah. So it's like, it's one of those situations where you kind of, a lot of interesting coaching decisions by the losers this weekend. We'll just put it that way, because it feels like a few teams had angles to attack and they just chose to attack them early and then move away from them, or not attack them at all. And just a fascinating coaching weekend. And I'm interested to see the coaching carousel after this weekend as well, because I think we may have two more openings after Wildcard weekend here.
Yeah, it's funny you said fascinating with the coaches, because we may see some coaches that didn't make it through the wild card on their way out, which we shall discuss. Why don't we just go here, because it matters, and we'll talk about the Chargers and Patriots. You know, I was thinking about this game as it was going on, because Drake May heated up in the second half. The Chargers, okay, we understand the edges on offense, but the offensive line wasn't the issue tonight. I'm watching the game, and this is now repeatedly what we've seen from Herbert in the postseason. Just didn't look confident, didn't look comfortable, and they don't have that big playmaker. Hampton was out with the injury, the running back as well.
Yeah, Hampton ends up playing one snap, two snaps, takes one carry, not able to go after that with the ankle. So unfortunate for the Chargers there. It was interesting, because I think the offensive line, you cannot argue that wasn't a problem. New England saw something on film. Great game plan coming in here. They were consistently rushing five and running stunts up front, and this line just looked like they were an absolute mess. All that being said, Herbert had chances. There were opportunities, yeah. And he missed the receiver, threw it short. I mean, the Keenan Allen play on fourth down looked like he was open. He just airmailed him on that one. That would have changed the tide early in this football game. A couple deep shots, just 5-10 yards too short. He just never really looked comfortable in this football game. And now, three-game sample size for Herbert in the playoffs, not wonderful. We're going to look at this again next year as the Chargers are going to try and make the playoffs, and you're going to say, okay, how many playoff wins do these quarterbacks have? Herbert's going to still be sitting there at zero. And you start to kind of wonder, is this the monkey officially on his back here, and is he going to emotionally be affected by it and see that effect on the field moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's fair. And May, listen, he was great with his legs. I think he had over 50 in the first half, continued that. And then really the backbreaker was a beautiful throw right over the fingertips of the defender to Hunter Henry, who's been tremendous for the Patriots. And that was kind of it. That's really all they needed. You mentioned the stunting and what they had going on up front. Herbert, I will say this, if you want to knock him, did start to look a little shook, looked a little gun shy when he was getting pressure.
Yeah, he did. And I'm going to have to watch the All-22s before I really just go down on the Chargers offensive coordinator. But I don't love what I was seeing out there. They did take some deep shots in the second half, and they actually had some success with it, right? You had one where there was almost a pass interference. Pass interference was called on the next play. It was a big gain for them. When you're getting blitzed, it means you have man. When you have man, you have to take shots down the field just so that the defense respects it. And then all of a sudden you can run curlbacks, comebacks, deep ends, all these different routes that fit in the route tree, because they know that you're trying to take the top off. We never really saw the Chargers try and take the top off unless it was in a scramble drill style of play outside of those two shots down the field. And I don't know if they were trying to do it and Herbert just wasn't letting it rip, but there were some question marks there on the offensive play calling side for the Chargers here as well. And you look at the box score, and if you tell the Chargers before the game, Drake May is the leading rusher for the Patriots, and Ramondre Stevenson is the leading receiver, they're probably thinking they're headed on to round two. Yet here we are with Stevenson leading the receiving core and May leading the rushing, and yet they lost 16-3. Wasn't even really that close.
Yeah, we're getting the schedule slowly roll out here, Mike. So I'll tell you what I do know here on Sharp Money. VSiN, the sports betting network. So we know Buffalo is going to head to Denver, and we know the Rams are going to head to Chicago. We know San Francisco is headed to Seattle, and we know that now New England will host the winner of tomorrow night's Houston at Pittsburgh matchup. So we're starting slowly to have this crystallize in real time here.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm excited to see when this next line pops. We have lines for two of the games. We're going to find out the third here shortly, so looking forward to seeing that. Three NFC West teams, Patrick, in the Final Four, in the NFC.
Three best. Just three saying. Best teams. Yeah. Appreciation. We'll get to the 49ers. There has to be an appreciation there. As this rolls out, why don't we just back up and we'll start the show properly with what we saw this weekend. Okay, so it started off what we thought was going to be now a close 10, right? I mean, the hooks pretty much dropped there on the Rams at the Panthers. And again, like I said, it came down to the final 2 minutes. Stafford, who wasn't great in the game, stepped up when it mattered on that final drive. And the Rams, a 34-31 winner with a big time over cashing here.
Yeah, over just flew over. And really a lot of scoring in the fourth quarters. We saw 28 points put up. And this was just a back and forth game there in that fourth. I am really pissed at myself. We were on this show twice. I'm talking about how this shouldn't be 10, shouldn't be 10 and a half. I never clicked the button on Carolina because I just didn't think they could win the football game. It was never in doubt that Carolina was going to cover doubles here. This was a Carolina team that I thought played very well. Bryce Young, he ends up 21 for 40. It doesn't do him justice. This was his best professional game.
I agree.
He played very well in this football game and was able to keep the Panthers in it when you had the Rams being able to put up a 34 spot. So I thought he played very well. Coker goes off 9 for 134 and a touchdown. If you are the Panthers moving forward, I think you feel pretty good about how this year went. You got in the playoffs kind of in a backdoor manner, but when the rubber hit the road, you saw this team show up and play well against what is considered one of, if not the best team in the NFL on the Rams side. And if you're a Rams fan, I think you're kind of happy you got through this. I mean, you mentioned Stafford did not play his A game. He didn't look great. We saw Nagua get spammed with targets. He had 18 targets, 10 catches for a 111 and a touchdown. You didn't really get your running game going in the manner you probably expected you were going to, but you still move on. You still get past this frisky Panthers team. And now you get to go to Chicago. Kind of feels like a good break for the Rams that you're not facing San Francisco, that you are not facing Seattle. You get to go into Chicago and take on Caleb Williams and that Bears team.
I think, you know, the two teams I think would be happy. You know, the Rams could have played better. There was a one turnover difference. Panthers had two, Rams had one. Maybe that's the difference in the game. If you're the Panthers, listen, you don't want to lose a playoff game. What a successful season.
Yeah.
You competed as a 10-point dog. I think you're right. I think Young's numbers don't do him justice at all. I thought, you know what? Maybe they do have a quarterback here. Coker stepped up, as you mentioned. McMillan's going to be great. There's a lot to like. As far as the Rams, it's kind of like you give McVay something to work with here because, hey, we got through it, but we got to be much, much better. And they're going to have to be better at Chicago, which we do have a number. Go ahead.
Yeah, my one thing that I want to make sure, we've mentioned this before, we got to keep an eye on it. Rams have the worst special teams in the playoff. That almost cost them. Blocked punt late in the fourth quarter here turns into a Carolina touchdown. That's why they had to play catch up there and score on a final drive, which they were able to do, go down and score, left 38 seconds on the clock here for Carolina. But that blocked punt, that you can do that against Carolina. You can't let that happen against Seattle. You can't let that happen against Chicago even next week. So the special teams, still something we've got to keep an eye on with this Rams team, because at some point it feels like it is going to come back and bite them.
Before we get to that Rams-Chicago spread, let's do this. The nightcap on Saturday was Green Bay at Chicago. Do you have a couple hours? Now, you asked we talked about the coaching carousel, so let's go here. You asked a great question on Thursday, Sharp Money. You said, is LaFleur in danger? And I said, I snap called and said, no. After that second half, I think all cards are on the table here. If you didn't see the game, where were you? Chicago was terrible in the first half, just 3 points. And then they go for 28 in the second half, 25 in the fourth. A legacy, I mean, just a remarkable fourth down pickup from Caleb Williams, who wasn't great in the game, but great when it mattered. Great theater in Chicago.
Yeah, phenomenal theater. And to your point, look, he just said, hold my beer, Patrick. I'm going to go ahead and just blow this one wide open in the second half. I think LaFleur's gone. I think that job is going to be open. This is a problem for this Packers team to be able to finish games. We saw them lose to the Browns this year. We saw them lose to Carolina this year. We saw them be very uneven when they were playing a lot of the season, and then you have this result in the playoffs. This is inexcusable. You cannot dominate the way you did in the first half. And the play calling sequencing from first half to second half, absolutely insane. I'm not sure if you saw this. I apologize. I don't remember who tweeted it. 16 snaps under center in the first half, 11 shotgun snaps for Green Bay. You establish a 21-3 lead going into half. Big plays all over the place. In the second half, 16 shotgun snaps, 5 under center before that final drive. What are we doing? Like, I get that you want to be different. You want to come out and you want to try and get ahead of their adjustments. When it's working like that, let's see what their adjustments are and see if they work on your offense that is absolutely moving the football up and down the field, and then figure out whether or not we need to make a change. Because that was just a absolute terrible job in the second half by LaFleur. To be honest, the Bears probably should have scored more points. You had an interception in the second half on a drive. You had 2 field goals that were forced in the second half. The Bears could have won this game going away with how poorly the Packers played on offense in the second half of this game.
Our handicap, a lot of it had to do with, I just trusted Johnson in a big spot. And what you're highlighting with coming out of the break, LaFleur gets tight. Listen, I think you might be right. There's a new president there with the Packers. He might be gone. I think he's going to get hired. If he does get fired, it may be still time to move on from LaFleur. But we talked about the issues with LaFleur, and they showed up in that second half. I think he gets tight. I think he runs a little hot, and I think he gets tight. And I think you saw that with the play calling in the second half. He's calling plays.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we saw Mike McDaniel down in Miami. He got let go. He is now number one or number two choice on multiple markets to be a head coach in the NFL on 2 different teams, right? First or second option there. But the big thing here is Harbaugh is available. Stefanski is available. There are other coaches that are available that if you said, hey, you can have the Packers job, you can coach Jordan Love.
Loaded team.
I mean, this is a really, really attractive spot. And one of the nice parts about coaching the Packers, there's not a crazy owner. The owner is spread out amongst all these different people.
Many crazy owners.
Right. But none of them actually can tell
they
you.
They can't touch you.
They can't say anything to you. So yeah, this is one of those situations where if I'm a coach, I kind of get more control. When I come in there, when I go through this process, I thought that, Harbaugh was likely going to end up in the Dolphins job. If this Packers job opens up, if the Eagles job opens up, I think it's all bets off for where Harbaugh ends up.
Okay, let's do this. It looks like we do have a number on Rams Chicago. I'm showing Sunday that game will be played on Sunday. So let's get into it. DraftKings right now is showing the Rams laying 4.5. At the Bears. That's the one number I'm showing most. I got another book showing 4. I got another book showing 4. So anywhere between 4, 4.5 here with the Rams laying it at Chicago.
Yeah, give me the Rams. I'm surprised. I thought this would be 6. I think this is a little short. I think that the Rams are a little bit fugazi, and that if you are McVay and you're watching back that football game, you can come up with a very, very nice game plan to be able to cut up this defense and create big plays for your wide receivers down the field. And that's what we saw from the Packers in the first half. The Rams have the weapons, the quarterback to be able to execute. And I don't – like, look, Caleb Williams made some amazing throws. So much talent. He wasn't that good down to down. Like, there were some misses. There were some overthrows. He still has the tendency where he wants to run backwards 10 yards instead of stepping up into the pocket and delivering the football. That's not a wonderful thing to consistently do. Now, he's so athletic, he can get away with it sometimes. But these aren't college kids chasing you around anywhere anymore. And this is a rush for the Packers that is in a much better – or for the Rams that is a much better shape than the Packers was once you lost Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, it was late in the game, about 5 minutes to play. It was 4th and 8, and he opened up his body, rolling to his left.
Incredible.
I don't know how many humans on the planet can make that throw. So I understand it's a dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where he frustrates you, and then he does something that I'm really not sure. I don't know how many people could do it. It's so hard to throw against your body like that and to be accurate. He's wild. That's why I say theater, because he's so much fun to watch.
He's one of one from a talent perspective.
He's crazy.
I don't know if anyone else could have made that play. And that's why, like, you come on here, and I don't want to be like, Caleb Williams stinks. He doesn't stink. But his down-to-down efficiency leaves something to be desired. Like, you're still missing wide receivers who are open when you're sitting in the pocket and you're just airmailing them. I'm not sure you can do that and get away with it against a much better Rams team than the Packers team that you just faced. And you cannot do what you have consistently done this year if you're the Bears. You can't get down double digits to this Rams team and expect you're going to be able to come back. And they've been the cardiac kids. It's been fun to watch these comebacks. They believe in themselves when they're down two scores, and that's great. This is a different beast that is across the sidelines from you, and a different head coach as well, who is not going to just let off the gas. He is going to continue to pour it on. I don't think that the Bears can come out in the way that they have and expect to be able to win this football game.
Do me a favor. Don't look at your board, because I'm going to ask you to go ahead and predict what you think Buffalo-Denver is, which just popped. But don't look, because we'll do this now. We'll go Buffalo was at Jacksonville today. That was the early game. You know what? I wanted to say this. I wrote it in my notes earlier to tell you what I loved about this weekend, even with Chicago, was weather didn't interfere. I think we're on opposite sides here. I like pristine conditions, the best athletes on the planet just going at it. And it reminds me, because it was perfect down in Jacksonville today. And you had obviously Josh Allen late doing what he does, and it's a 27-24 winner from the Bills. Now, Jacksonville did have an opportunity with about a minute to go to come down, tie it up, or win the game. And on the first play coming back, Lawrence gets tipped, interception, Bills move on.
Yeah, it's another one, man. Trevor Lawrence wasn't very good in this football game. He looked shaky at best in certain times. He kind of reverted back to the Trevor Lawrence that we had seen previously. Now, did lose Parker Washington for parts of the first half as he was in concussion protocol there, checking him out. He ended up coming back, obviously making a huge impact on this game based on his stat line there, going for over 100 yards. So maybe you can say, well, he was missing one of his weapons, but just not as confident with the football, even not as confident with his legs when he was running around. His decision-making wasn't as good as it was prior to this week. So you could tell that the nerves got to Trevor Lawrence here in this spot. I don't know if it's because it's the playoffs. I don't know if it's because Josh Allen is on this other sideline. I don't know if it's because we're at home. But it was clearly a factor here for the Jaguars. And this one was another one where kind of felt like they kept the Bills in this football game in a way. Like, they only put up 7 in the first half. They were running the football at will and then just kind of stopped doing it. Like, I don't really know what we were doing here from Cohen. I mean, you had Etienne and Tootin carried the ball 14 times for 118 yards. How do you only give them 14 carries? They're averaging almost 10 a tote. Like, what are we doing? Not just continuing to spam the outside zone run, which was absolutely eating up the Buffalo Bills, and then running play action off that. Like, it seems like a very simple concept here. The Bills could not stop it, couldn't prove that they could stop it. Yet Jacksonville never really forced them to really have to deal with it, because they decided, hey, we're just going to drop back with Trevor Lawrence, make him a pocket passer and see what happens. And I hated the way the Jaguars handled this game.
Yeah, I said Carolina's going to be proud. Jacksonville should not be proud.
No.
Jacksonville should be very disappointed. I thought Cohen was bad. I agree with you. I thought Lawrence was tepid. He was kind of short arming his throws. He just didn't feel comfortable. Even the last one, he kind of floated as opposed to kind of drilling it in there. Conversely, Allen, he was great. He was incredible. He was 28-35 for 273, a touchdown, 2 rushing touchdowns. You know, Romo was obsessed with the fact that he was banged up. My assumption is he is, and he doesn't care. He was awesome in the game, Allen.
Yeah, came in with a foot injury. Nails his hand against a helmet. Don't know what the severity of that finger injury is. Hurts his knee in this game as well, and just kind of kept coming. I mean, he put the cape on today. I mean, we talked about that was the way that the Buffalo wins this football game, because the Jaguars' run defense was going to slow down James Cook, and they did. He went 15 for 46. Not very good. Long run, 11 yards from James Cook. It was Josh Allen who just said, hey, I'm going to will this team to a victory. Brandon Cooks, like, revival game here, goes 3 for 58, gets hit down the field. Keon Coleman, who was a healthy scratch multiple times this year, makes big plays for the Bills here as Allen's able to find him downfield. Just a great game from Josh Allen, and a shaky one from Trevor Lawrence. No mistakes from Josh Allen, 2 picks from Trevor Lawrence. There's your difference.
Buffalo heads to Denver. What do you want to make the number?
It is 1.5 either way. I'm not sure who the favorite should be. That is the problem here. That's why I'm like hesitating. I think this is very similar to the Jacksonville game. I think you're going to see 1.5 either way. I'll say 1.5 Denver, just because they're at home.
FanDuel and DraftKings are both 1.5. Buffalo.
So yeah, I knew it was one of the two.
Wait. Denver just flipped at DraftKings. So the number at Buffalo was 1.5. It is now shifted. Denver 1.5. So you're 100% right in both ways.
Yeah.
FanDuel has Buffalo 1.5 and DraftKings has Denver 1.5. I think that confusion right there is probably going to be on a lot of bettors' minds as well, because you're going into it with the exact same handicap. Is he going to put the cape back on against a better defense? Though Jacksonville defense is pretty good as well.
Here's the thing, though. This is a worse offense. I think Jacksonville's offense is better than Denver's by all any way you cut the cake there. So, and we saw this matchup last year in Buffalo, and Buffalo blew the doors off Denver. They were able to get their defense up and figure out how to hold down this offense, and Josh Allen cut that defense up and put up, I believe it was like 34-7, 31-7, something like that. So, if Josh Allen were 100% healthy, I would have said Buffalo 1.5. With the injury, I think that you open Denver 1.5. We see where it goes here. I'm kind of just kicking myself for not saying Buffalo's going to win the AFC. They got the best player, man. Like, you watch that today, and you're like, I trust Josh Allen. I don't trust any other quarterback, and Drake May enter the conversation at some point here, but I don't trust any other quarterback to play playoff football right now that's left in the AFC.
Sandwich today here on Sharp Money was in Philadelphia. San Francisco turned the ball over twice. Philly didn't turn the ball over, and San Francisco won 23-19. Now, we talked about the coaching carousel. Does John Harbaugh want to return to Philly? There are going to be changes made. Obviously, the Petullo donk, the offensive coordinator is gone. I mean, the lack of creativity.
Woof.
On the final drive, that was a high school offense.
The final four plays, they ran goes with both wide receivers.
It was so funny.
Point to me one time that worked all game.
Sala's like, yeah, this is fun to defend. scheming against this donk.
I don't know how Philly lost this game. That's the crazy part. I have no clue how Philadelphia lost this game. They dominated San Francisco on the defensive side. They set up their offense consistently to be able to put points on the board. And yet somehow the Eagles just refused to put points on the board. I mean, Saquon Barkley looked like he was going to be able to run all day, every day against this Eagles team. He ends up getting 26 carries for 106. That it feels like he could have had more yards. The offensive line doesn't do great here. But to me, the big thing that jumps out to me is the routes that we were seeing A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith run. When they ran routes underneath, across the field, 10-yard comebacks, they were just catching everything, getting wide open all day. And for some reason, we just decided, you know what? It's really windy. Our quarterback doesn't really deal with throwing it deep well. Why don't we just send them both deep every play? We'll see what happens there. And guess what happened? Like, Hurts, who I cannot stand watching. I think he is my favorite quarterback to watch, because there is no pressure in the pocket.
And he gets out of it.
And he runs backwards five yards and then just throws the ball away. He probably threw the ball away 10 times in this game when he didn't even need to do anything. He could have just stepped up into the pocket. But, this was an atrocious performance from the Eagles. They were clearly the better team and clearly just couldn't get their bleeping stuff together. Like, this was ridiculous.
Hurts is, it's like insubordinate, bailing out of the pocket like that. I mean, amazing the run he had in the, because he was great in the postseason last year. I don't know where that player is.
That's why
he wasn't playing today.
That's why I fell for it. His two best games in his career have been Super Bowls. It's not like he has a pressure issue here. But man, like, he went 20 for 35. I swear 10 of those were throwaways. 10 of his 15 incompletions. He's just like, yep. Scramble out of this pocket that's clean and I'm gonna throw it out of bounds. It's like, what are we doing? I was furious as someone who played the Eagles at a four, much better than the kickoff number. I was furious that they were not just pounding the 49ers in the first half, and then that this shenanigans kept going on offensively in the second.
And conversely, San Francisco, got to give them credit, Shanahan's done a great job. They had linebackers that showed up last night, basically. Offensively, they emptied the bag. He had a trick bag for him with tricks. Tremendous. I don't know if you've looked at the number as San Francisco travels to Seattle.
I have not, no.
Okay. You want to take a stab?
It's around Seattle, around a touchdown. And it's either on one side or the other. Now, I'll just say Seattle 7.
Seattle 7.
Hey, there we go.
But here's the important part. 7.5s are out there as well.
Yeah.
So I'll use the two. Just for sharp money listeners that are in states where you have a public book, FanDuel is 7.5. DraftKings is 7. So obviously, you know what that means as a better. If you like Seattle, grab the 7. If you like San Francisco, you can find a 7.5.
What was the line on week 18? I want to say it was Seattle like 1.5. Let me see if I can.
I can find that. Hold on. Right around there. It's just so, yeah.
That was in San Francisco.
Correct.
Right. So
Seattle was laying. It was very short, but yeah, they were laying.
They were laying 1.5 in San Francisco. Let's say it's 1.5 each way. That means 4.5. So you've seen a 2.5-point adjustment from that line in week 18 to now. And I think part of that is because we saw this, that we have more defensive injuries for San Francisco, and we saw the Seattle defense really dominate San Francisco in that game. And they also dominated San Francisco back in week 1. Really should have won that football game, but a couple of non-interceptions that Brock Purdy threw that ended up in, I believe it was Tunjus's hands in the end zone, who we didn't even know who the heck he was back in week 1.
Right.
And you also are missing Kittle, obviously. Like, that was...
And Kittle is gone. He's ACL.
It's ACL?
I thought
it was Achilles.
One of the two. But he's done for the year.
Yeah, I was on air with Matt Brown watching that play. As someone who's popped their Achilles, you see the reverberation in your calf, and you're just like, nope, that's not good. That's going to be very bad. And he's going to be done for the year. We'll see if that's he's 32, Patrick. Like, I don't know if that's career for Kittle or if we're going to see him back here in next year, or in 2 years, really. But a tough loss there for San Francisco as well. So I'm kind of just going on because I don't know what to do with this one.
I would take the 7.5.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would.
That's a heavy number.
It's a full 2.5-3-point adjustment from what we saw week 18, which is my hesitation to say I'd lay it with Seattle. I think this is a very good teaser league.
It's a tremendous tease spot.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you take Buffalo up to 7.5 and you tease this down to 1.5 and you call it a day.
Okay, there it is, San Francisco, Seattle. And by the way, those two teams, they want to go to the Super Bowl. Of course, we're getting ready for the big game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off of VSiN Pro annual subscriptions. A great deal when you sign up using promo code SUPER. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. You get the daily best bets, VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits. That's important. AI betting props and 24/7 video. Everything's there. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code SUPER to save $60 off an annual VSiN Pro subscription today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
I got one more Philly question for you, Patrick.
Of course.
Is A.J. Brown a Philadelphia Eagle week 1 next year?
That is a good question. I mean, listen, he and Sirianni were going at it again today. What the problem with Brown is that he complained so much, and then he had a horrible drop today. So it's
two
like
two of them. And he didn't try on one of them.
They're gonna mix it up. They're gonna do something. Obviously, they're gonna completely overall. They're gonna pray Fangio sticks around through the madness. And I'll be fascinated. Obviously, the OC's gone. I am gonna be fascinated to see what they do with Sirianni.
I think Sirianni's gone.
I would think so.
I think he's gone, and I think it's going to be interesting what they do with this offense. I mean, you, what do you do with Jalen Hurts? What do you do with A.J. Brown? A.J. Brown, a phenomenally talented player, but a real problem in the locker room with like everything reported this year. And then in their biggest game of the season, you don't go for a football that was thrown deep. You literally alligator arm it. You drop a ball on the next play when you would have had a 30, 40-yard completion, possibly been able to take it in the end zone. And then you have a huge drop on the final drive as well. It comes with a lot to keep him on your squad. I'm going to be interested to see what you do in Philly this offseason.
A couple of just quickly, Pinnacle, Sharp Book Offshore. Buffalo has gone to 2.5 at Pinnacle, or they opened 2.5 as opposed to the 1.5 at Denver. Pinnacle opened the Rams 3.5 as opposed to the 4.5, which we're seeing at Chicago. And Penny is 7.5 on Seattle hosting San Francisco.
Yeah, that is a the That Denver-Buffalo game is going to be fascinating to watch what adjustments we're going to get on the line. And that's going to be our early game on Saturday there. So an afternoon game up in Denver. Right now you can get a pick at Circa, which is a sharp, I would say the sharpest book here in the U.S. It's a one at Westgate, one and a halves in a lot of other places. You mentioned a 2.5 out there as well. I'll be very interested to see where the money goes in that one. You're going to start to hear the you can't bet against Josh Allen in the playoffs that we heard about Patrick Mahomes for two straight years. But this was the first time Josh Allen run a playoff game on the road. People seem to forget that. 7-2 at home. He's now 1-4 on the road in the playoffs. So big test coming up against this Denver defense. But it would be hard for me to bet Denver.
Yeah, Listen. Here's what I would say as we close it out, because we've got one more. I love the Monday night wildcard game. I know people are bitching about it, but I love it. Houston at Pittsburgh. Listen, I feel about this game as I did about the 3.5 New England was laying tonight, though I think you and I would be surprised that we have not seen the 3.5 pop up back up with Houston. As a matter of fact, the juice is going closer to 2.5. There is Pittsburgh love coming in. And I can't find it within my soul.
Well, you hear the argument as to why Pittsburgh's going to win this football game, and a lot of it seems to revolve around the fact that Houston's not going to be able to score. If I had that opinion, why wouldn't you just play the under? Like, it's sitting at 38.5. If Houston's putting up 7 or 10...
You expect Pittsburgh to score?
They're not going to put up 30. Like, let's be honest here. Like, I don't see how Pittsburgh's going to be able to score. And I do think you have a big play capability here for the Houston offense. Now, yes, the offensive line's terrible. We just watched a really bad offensive line tonight. It definitely has me worried. Offensive lines traveling that stink. We got another one tomorrow night. But I still just, there's more playmakers on the offense for Houston. There's more playmakers on the defense for Houston. It's literally the best defense I can remember in the last 5-10 years here that's playing on that Houston side. I'm sitting here wondering why we're going to get to 2.5, and then I'm going to bet a lot of money on Houston minus 2.5.
May I say, if you're like Samich and I who likes Houston, hold on.
Yeah.
Circa just went 3 even. They're about to go to 2.5.
It'll be interesting to see if the books do.
I love 2.5.
Well, do you think the books want, they don't want to go to 2.5.
Well, Pittsburgh's a very public, Pittsburgh is, I mean, amongst the two of them, obviously, that is going to be a public side.
Oh, 100%. Yes. It's a public dog, which is generally one of the worst things you can bet on. That's like a terrible combination. But if it goes to 2.5, how long does it last?
That's what I'm saying. You got to be close. You got to be on your book. Yeah, I don't think it.
And you haven't seen them willing to make that move, which tells me they expect to get absolutely dumped on from a money perspective if this thing goes to 2.5.
Yeah.
And if it does, you're going to see an immediate buyback on the Houston side. I don't think it lasts for very long. Again, I think this should kick off at 5, and we're sitting at 3. Rarely in the playoffs do you have that big of a power rating difference from the actual spread and what your numbers say.
Yeah, we there are no 110s, so it's every book is just teetering on that toggle of 3 to 2.5.
Fascinating too, because when we were on last Sunday,
3.5
pops at 2.5, 3 immediately. Texans money
got hit,
and that money just kind of hasn't pushed. Now we'll see come game day if people are just waiting to see if they get the 2.5, and this thing gets pushed back out to the other side because they want to get the best price available on Houston.
Well, in summation, it was a great weekend. Saturday night was a lot of fun. You could tell it was cold there. Now, I thought we were going to get snow during the game because the pregame, it was a snow globe.
Great snow pictures pregame. I feel robbed. Where is my snow playoff game, Patrick? I want it.
You might get it next weekend. Yeah. Rams at Chicago.
Yeah, and Denver. Denver can produce some snowflakes every now and then.
We'll have the weather for you. We'll have these numbers having baked on Thursday's Sharp Money. Don't forget, we'll have this. Bill AD is going to have that weather report. You'll also get free plays. You get everything you need in the VSiN newsletter. Go to VSiN.com/newsletter. There's no obligation. You just enter your email address and you're good to go. So here we go. We've got Houston, Pittsburgh tomorrow. Stick by your board if you like Houston, because you're probably going to get a 2.5. Quickly on this one again, Buffalo's going to be at Denver. There's 2.5s and there's 1.5s. Quickly on the total, I'm seeing 47s.
Yeah,
Buffalo, Denver.
Open 46.5, immediate money to the over. Not a shock there, because I think people believe that Buffalo can move against anybody, and that Denver is going to be able to move the football against this Buffalo offense. The Rams-Bears game opens at 51.5. 50.5 is available in market. There's also a 51. That's going to be fun.
That's a great game.
That's going to be a fun one. And then Seattle, San Francisco here, I'm seeing, 45.5 in the market there. So I would like of those bets, under Seattle, San Francisco feels like the first one that I want to run to.
Just quickly, DraftKings is 46.5 if you do like the under there. I think you're going to get a better number than 46.5.
Yeah, we don't know weather yet. Seattle can be a little ornery from a weather perspective as well when we get to this time of the year, so we'll have to see if anything changes there too. But under in the Seattle-San Francisco game is going to be the first bet on my card here.
All right, there it is. Wild card weekend. It was a hell of a lot of fun.
It was.
No shade to the Chargers and the Patriots. It's almost like you were expecting a little bit of a letdown after what we had with the four games prior.
We had 11 straight quarters of one-score football, Patrick, today.
It's pretty good.
Until the fourth quarter, we did not have – that was the first time we saw a two-score lead by anybody, and that was still 16-3. Like, the Chargers still had a way to get back in that football game. They just could not have any semblance of an offense. All right, I want your final answer before we go. Mike LaFleur. Is he the head coach of the Packers when we are on Thursday?
I don't think he's the aesthetics of that second half against a rival. I agree. I don't think he survives. But I'll further the prediction. I think he gets one of the open jobs.
I agree with you on both fronts. Sirianni.
Tennessee, remember, he was in Tennessee as the OC before he got the Green Bay head coaching job.
Well, Mike McDaniel is currently the second choice to get the Tennessee head coaching job.
McDaniel's interviewing with Cleveland tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, so he's and there's a lot of people who would love to have him as an OC. He would be fun in Philly. I mean,
I think he looks like he's going to get a job. He might get a head coaching job. That is your question about LaFleur. We'll close it with a question. Same thing with Harbaugh. Now, what does Harbaugh do? Is he wait for Philly?
I think Sirianni and LaFleur are both out on Thursday. I think that if I'm picking between those two jobs, I would rather have the Packers job.
I agree.
I don't
want to deal with that drama in Philly.
Can I say it? Jalen Hurts isn't a good quarterback. I don't want anyone in Philly to hear me. But he is not a top 5 guy. He is not a top 10 guy. Like, no thanks.
You'd take it over the Giants? I think it's obvious he's going to say, do I want the Giants, do I want Philly, or do I want Green Bay?
Well, I think Miami is the sniper here.
The problem is you got to wait for that quarterback to his contract to be done.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, Ross will give Harbaugh $20 million in complete control of the franchise. No one else will give him that. And if he wants the most money and total control, Miami is the only option. I think you take Green Bay over New York for the simple reason that you don't have to deal with the incompetent GM, and you don't have to deal with the Maras up and down that organization who are entrenched at all these different player personnel levels. In Green Bay, like, Brian Gutekunst done a very good job as GM, very good job scouting. They have made moves to try and make that team better. They're more ready right now. I would rather have the Green Bay job than the Giants job because of upper management.
Last one, and we'll get out of here. Who's your biggest disappointment of the five that we've watched so far, team or player? And then your all-star, team or player, this weekend.
I mean, biggest disappointment, it's Philadelphia, and it's not even close. I mean, it is not even close how bad that Eagles game was. They should have won that football game by 2 scores, and they completely just, I don't know if they choked.
Yeah, there's no way he can come back. Now, the more you think about it, Mike, there's no way Sirianni, it's just too stinky.
It was hot knife through butter, and then they just stopped doing what they were doing effectively. And all of a sudden, it's like, why are we again trying to change, trying to get ahead of whatever the changes are from the San Francisco side on the defensive side? I thought that was absolutely atrocious. You know what? I'm going to give the star of the weekend to someone you may not expect. I'm going to give it to Drake May, because while Drake May wasn't great in the first half, I thought Drake May got better as that game went on. It was his first playoff game, and he needed to show something. I thought that by the end of that game, he showed it. He was able to move around with his legs, and Stafford wasn't great. Allen was very good, but he wasn't like completely phenomenal. You look at like Purdy in the San Francisco offense. I didn't think that was that great. The Chicago side of it, Caleb Williams missed throws. I'll give it to Drake May. What about you?
I will give it to my long lost love. The ones that get away are really, you know, I think about some young ladies often as I get a little bit older that I just, you know, probably should have handled the situation a little differently. And I think the Lions should have handled the situation with Benjamin Johnson a little differently. That was one of the worst teams in football last year. And they win when it matters. And I think a lot of that has to do with what he's created there. Ben Johnson.
He's a superstar. What'd you make of the handshake?
Yeah, it's a little overblown. They're both kind of donks. I mean, they're both like nerdy hotheads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they hate each other. They loathe each other. And it's been going on for a while now. If I'm a Chicago Bears fan, I love it because my coach doesn't give an F.
Yeah.
And he's creating narratives that I think that's okay in sports. Like, it's okay to have hatred for a rival.
No, and he does not like LaFleur or the Packers. I mean, it was fun. I'm a little old school. Maybe I'm a little more old school than you are. I want to see a handshake. I want to see
technically they did shake hands.
The AI videos going around of them shaking hands, and then Ben Johnson kicking him in the side of the head today. It was so fast.
It took Ben Johnson 19 games to be like, after McVay, I don't know who I'm starting a franchise with over him.
The sliding doors of Detroit's decision. I did not have him be their head coach. I'd stick with Man Campbell. It's a choice.
She's such a meat stick. All right, there it is. Enjoy Houston and Pittsburgh, and we'll be here for you on Thursday. Spread the word about Sharp Money. Good things coming with the program as well. Like, subscribe, appreciate all the support. Samo, on the way out, you got anything?
Been a fun playoffs. Let's make it a profitable one. Come on, Texans. Get home, baby.
And come on, 2.5 from the gods.
Hey, send it. Rain down the 2.5s on me so I can repop this.
Sharp Money. We'll see you Thursday.